In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Betches Media presents The Betches Brides Podcast, a show for the wedding obsessed and the brides who are stressed. Because after all, it's only one day of your life.
What's up, Betches Brides? Welcome back to another episode. I'm laughing, okay? Sean is making me laugh. News spoiler alert, okay? News flash, Sean is back on the episode today on the podcast because, you guys, we had him in a couple weeks ago. We're recording all of these before my Italian voyage. So I said, Sean, you're going to come on again and we're going to shoot the shit about weddings.
Yeah.
Because let me just tell you, I'm not even just saying this because you don't need a bigger head or ego.
Right.
But
I like that. Go ahead.
The amount of DMs, the fans, they love you.
We have good chemistry. That's what it is. It's the you and me thing.
It is. You wake me up. It's like a jolt of 17 espresso shots.
Which, it's the afternoon here right now.
Yeah. I'm tired.
You're pretty tired.
I'm exhausted. Yeah.
You were doing warm-up exercises, tip of the tongue, teeth in the lips. Is that what it is?
I was. Let me just tell you, I feel like I'm back in wedding planning mode.
Mm-hmm.
Except
you're planning a trip. You asked me before the show, how do we learn the podcasting stuff? Because I work in the podcast department.
Yeah, like how do you know which buttons to push?
And the answer is you just Google it. It's the same as planning a wedding. You just Google it. How does anyone figure this out? How does someone become a wedding planner?
I assume they Google it.
They probably apprentice with people.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the most important thing is when you're a wedding planner to learn?
Hands-on experience.
Yeah.
Like the actual being there and planning a wedding. We had Melissa Andre on a couple weeks ago at this point, she was saying just like something goes wrong. She's been doing it for 15 years. She has a whole team working for her now. Something goes wrong every single wedding.
You learn from the mistakes.
And you
not
learn
from the successes. Unless you do something amazing. Then you just keep doing that one over and over.
True.
Like there's gotta be one hack that you learn that she learned
crowd
or whatever.
Favorite.
That you're just like, I'm just gonna do that every time.
Get the bride and groom drunk.
Perfect or the couple. Cake, for example.
You just said in the last episode that we don't need
You don't need a cake. But I'm saying, like, let's say you were going to do a cake. There's got to be, like, the baker, he knows which cake is actually good.
Right.
Yeah.
It's
probably not the, like, triple tiramisu with, you know, weird frosting. And
Grandma, like, might like that one.
So good. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it's not going to please everybody. So let me ask you a question that's not bride related.
Okay.
How'd you learn TikTok? Because you're like the head of TikTok at Betches now. Do people know this? Do the bride's audience know this?
Yeah, they do. Jordana used to always compliment me.
How'd you learn it?
Tinkering around.
It's not Googling, it's tinkering.
Use the word tinker every 5 seconds. Like my interns, God bless them. I'm like, you just need to like tinker around to figure that out. I'm a big just tester around.
Yeah.
Sit there and my little Tinkerbell fingers are just.
But the other thing you can do is you can listen to a podcast about it. So like if you're planning your own wedding, you can just listen to Betches Brides, which is I guess what we're doing right now.
Right.
From everyone else's mistakes.
And it's good to listen to opinionated people on it. And something you told me about podcasting.
What did I say?
Oh my God. The one of the many things you come in, you're like, Nicole, always have a strong opinion. And I'm like, well, whatever. I can change my mind easily when I'm presented with new information.
Right.
But that's, I think, why people like listening to you, like on our last episode, because you do have strong opinions.
Yeah, that's true. Probably too strong. Maybe if I come on enough times, they'll ask you to stop bringing me back. But today I have some helpful stuff, I think.
So today we're going to talk about a couple different topics. We have a voicemail. We have some unpopular opinions in addition to Sean's strong ones. But today we're going to talk about giving a wedding toast and
love
some
that.
Other stuff. Maybe some how to pick your good officiant, some DIY hacks that you've noticed over the years that you love. So this is going to be a really tangible episode that
you
can take and plan away, okay?
Great. I just got back from a wedding, by the way.
Another?
Yeah, it's wedding season.
Were you?
That's two in a row. I got another one this week.
You weren't the coordinator for this one.
I did not coordinate. I didn't have to coordinate shit. Oh, I forgot. I have a great story for you though. Okay. Go. So things unpopular. So learn from the mistakes, not the successes, right? Mm-hmm. Things you can ask friends to do and things you can't ask friends to do. That's a really important thing because I assume a lot of the listeners are doing DIY weddings. Not everybody can afford
a venue
that comes with the planner, that comes with whatever. That's mm-hmm. got to be at least half the audience, if not more. Okay. And then there's the hybrids, right? Most people are doing a hybrid.
But you still want to ask your friends to do stuff even if you are.
You should. You absolutely should. And I told you, if you're going to hang up string lights, just go hire a guy. And if you can't, it's going to take a lot more effort than you think it is.
The string lights is still stressing me out.
But they feel like they're going to take 10 minutes. That's the point. And they take literally 5 hours mm-hmm. and it hurts. It hurts your whole
physically.
Body. But yeah, like the ladder is just, you know, you can fall. Okay. So that's one example, but like you could do it. That's not crazy. Mm-hmm. So I went to this wedding and it was an amazing wedding. I mean, they did a great job and they did DIY the way that I want DIY to be, which is they're not kidding themselves. See, I think what people do is they tell themselves, well, we're okay with cutting this corner. And then when it comes time to do it, they're really not okay with cutting that corner. So you have to make, you know, kill your darlings, whatever. Well, they made only one mistake, which was asking a friend to be the photographer.
Oh God.
And I think that's a bigger ask than they thought, but their attitude, and I think it came from a good place, is we want to be present, not posing.
Was it a friend who picked up a camera or was it a photographer who was also a friend?
So it's a friend who was a professional filmmaker. So, I mean, he's a skilled photographer.
Okay.
Okay, but he's not a photographer, not a wedding photographer. Now, I would say remember we talked last time I was on a few weeks ago, if you haven't listened to it, go back and look in the archives.
Yes.
Great episode. If you're gonna cut this corner or that corner, who must you hire? Who shouldn't you?
I said cut the cake.
I said definitely pay for the DJ. Mm-hmm. And I said definitely pay for catering. Like that's like a no-brainer.
Open bar.
But I thought the photographer's one, the most important person that you think is the least important.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, right? Like some of the people, like the florist is the most important.
Unpopular opinion. I don't think so.
But
the photographer is very important. A good photographer. We just did a whole episode with my personal wedding photographer and she was great, gave all these tips on how to find one. I mean, that's why they're becoming one of the most expensive vendors.
Well, the post-production stuff is actually the hard part. But I'm saying anyone can take a photo.
Right.
But it's making them look good, taking enough photos, getting coverage
Even
on everything.
Just like knowing how to work with the couple. And like we said in the last episode, I think we said at one point, the photographer kind of turns into the planner because they were with you the whole day as the day of coordinator. They
so
were
helpful.
Helping you stay on mm-hmm. track. They've done this before. They kind of turn into like a little mini coordinator because they're wrangling everybody around for photos.
So the wedding photographer was a friend of mine and he actually drove me to the wedding. So he picked us up at the airport. It was his destination. We're in California. We get in the car. He drives us to the wedding. We're doing the rehearsal dinner. And he was like, you got all your equipment. You ready to take the photos? And he goes, oh shit.
No. Did he not have a backup device?
You forgot to bring the camera.
No. This was to the rehearsal dinner?
This was like at the rehearsal dinner. I mean, they weren't planning to photograph that at all. And I think that
Thank God.
And here's the thing. Like I said, sometimes you kid yourself about certain things and then you're mistaken. They didn't do a DJ either at this one, right? They did a playlist. But they got really good speakers and I stand corrected for the size. It was a 50-person wedding in a backyard. It was like, great.
Oh.
Stick to your guns. That's a case where you don't really need a DJ. The playlist did cut out several times, but I did enforce shots. So everybody was dancing. We had a great time. Oh,
I also
picked up a great tip.
What?
Okay, so one of the guys, it was a half Australian wedding. So there was Aussies there. So they were having their own kind of fun. And one of the guys went and picked up one of the, it's like, you can get these on Etsy, but they're basically like this wing cape thing. It has like sticks on the end of it. And it looks like you're wearing wings. You'll see them at Pride this weekend. Anyway, so it's like a thing that he bought, right? For the bride to wear during a dance. And then he went to a thrift shop and found this like sequined gold jacket. And it looked like it matched with the wings. And I'm telling you, for 30 minutes straight, people took turns during couples.
Putting the thing on?
Yeah. The girl and the couple would put on the wings. The guy would put on and then all of a sudden these people who were like wallflowers start dancing. I thought that was so cool. Like
having some sort of costume.
You know, people do like, you know, you have the funny little mustache stuff for the photo booth.
This sounds like that
this
times
was
10.
Like that, and it was so cool. And so weirdly Australian. So that was great.
And that gives them like a shared experience where they can all pass it around. It gets them moving, gets them up. I like
dancing
that.
Dancing costumes. I would actually highly recommend doing this. Okay.
Costumes.
So he forgot the camera. then, I mean, this is a long story. He did end up doing a great job and ended up looking really good.
Thank heavens.
They did. And the groom was like a professional filmmaker too. So then we actually went around town because we're all like, this is a destination wedding. And we actually like found this guy who was photographing a reggae band for a concert. It was actually like Bob Marley's band. So
what night was this?
The Wailer. This was like the day of the wedding. Okay. And we're going around trying to figure out, because it's a destination. And we actually found a guy who like was going to lend his camera.
Oh,
and
you're like, trying to find a literal camera for literal the camera. Hired photographer.
They ended up having someone drive all the way to the nearest Best Buy, like 45 minutes and away, and buy a camera that they returned. So that's fine. It worked out. But I actually would say if they could do it all over again, I think they would agree.
The just only get thing a normal that, photographer.
But you know what they did do? Like, for example, it's a backyard wedding. They still rented the like bathrooms for outside the venue, so you don't necessarily have to go in the house.
Yeah.
So they weren't cutting every corner. They were very prepared.
I'm trying to visualize this backyard wedding. Like, was there a literal dance floor? Were there tables that were decorated?
Yeah. Okay. I love this too. Okay. So it was, again, 50 people. It is a gorgeous backyard.
Okay.
And it's so very well landscaped, which means they didn't have to have too many flowers.
That's
so that
nice.
Looked really, really good. And they did it banquet style where it was
giant table,
one long table, and then kind of like T-shape where the middle with some of the family were just in the middle, right? Like across and then very long table on
that's
either
fun.
Side of that. It looked great. It worked great. The toasts were in the middle so everybody could see it there. And then you walked back further in the backyard. It's that big of a backyard. Mm-hmm. And then they did rent one of those, you know, just pieced together dance floors.
Yep. That's like the backyard totally wedding worked. I went to, and it was so fun. Yeah, but there was a DJ.
Well, they might have
spread. And a real photographer.
If you asked them, like, twist your arm if you had an extra X number of $1,000 to spend, they'd go, okay, first we'd hire the photographer, and maybe we would have gotten a DJ.
Yeah.
Maybe.
The backyard weddings are so fun, though. Like, because it's just,
fun.
You're not in like a formal stuffy venue. Mm-hmm. You're like chilling in a backyard. You can sit in the grass if you want.
I loved the, right? You could. I also loved that. Another thing they had was like, because, you know, it gets chilly there at night, mm-hmm. even though it was perfect weather. They had a bunch of like just cloth, like shawls mm-hmm. with not monogram, but it had like a little thing wrapped around it with the bride and groom's name on it. So
that's
if you got cold, you could
touch.
Just put one of those on.
I've heard of people doing that with blankets for ceremonies.
Exactly.
We actually almost did, especially for those fall weddings mm-hmm. or even just on a chilly summer night, you go to Amazon or wherever, buy blankets in bulk. And
then people could take them home.
Yeah.
And that's a nice little
that could be a favor.
They also had a full bar and they had like four signature cocktails. And I love the idea of that. I love the idea of actually saying, okay, we have the Paloma, we have the Martini, we have the whatever.
Yeah.
And then they had shots. Because I told them they had to, but like having the bartender, again, they weren't cutting corners. They just decided what was important to them.
Right.
And they decided a photographer wasn't important and they were wrong, but everything else was perfect.
Did they have the signature cocktails throughout the whole night?
Until it ran out. I think they like pre-batched them too, which I assume, which made it a lot easier. They were so good.
That's one thing since I've been a wedding guest at like literally 10 weddings within the past year already. That's one thing I've been noticing at weddings as a guest. I'm like, I love the signature cocktail. I keep ordering it throughout the night.
You can still get a tequila soda.
Right.
You, need.
You can switch to that if you want something less like sugary, lighter, whatever, just easier. But I don't know. It's something about a cocktail makes me feel like I'm actually having a good drink versus like tequila soda. That's what I order at like my college bar.
With a splash of what?
Grapefruit. That actually is.
I know Nicole so well. I knew
that really is my go-to wedding drink now when I switch from the cocktail.
It's
tequila
good.
Soda splash of grapefruit. Mm-hmm. It's so good. You cannot even taste the tequila. And also you need lime in it. You have to say with two limes preferably. And then the bartender literally hates you by the end of the night. Then you tip them in the beginning so that they like you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's, I don't know. Cause you know how wedding bars can feel like a little.
What can be, you don't want a line though either. You want people,
oh my God.
You don't want like a barrier.
No, you need multiple bars, I think. Even if it's one bartender.
Well, it's small
each.
Enough that it was a 50 person wedding, you could get away
with
one.
A 50 person.
If you're like 200 person wedding, you do need two
bars. You need
bars.
Multiple tenders and multiple bars.
Like multiple
200
people.
Person, you need.
How many
least,
people were yours again?
I think we had at least four bartenders and two bars and then a mini little satellite bar thing.
Right.
So three.
What happens at a satellite bar?
Honestly, I truly don't know. I'm like, oh, cool. Satellite bar. Good. That sounds good. I think the satellite bar was just like beer and wine. Like quick,
okay.
Like grab a can of something.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I could be very wrong. We might have had four bars. Who knows? I know a wedding I went to recently had like literally four bars, like one on each corner of the room. And it was amazing. Never a line. I had my girl who this night I was drinking tequila muddled with jalapenos and lime juice on the rocks.
Great.
And it was so good. And she was making them for me the whole night with a tajin rim. I was literally getting like gourmet drinks from this bartender. But yeah, that way, just the more bars, the merrier. That's something to look into when you're looking for venues. You got to ask where are the bars going to be.
I mean, did it cost extra for example, for extra bars at yours?
Ours or came with that many. Two,
whether you want it or not.
They charge you per bartender, a lot of them, but they'll staff appropriate to the number of people you have. Like, so we were saying we're expecting around 150, 160. They were like, okay, well, then we recommend four bartenders. And then you pay a fee or like a service fee for each bartender and then gratuity. So
I would assume then the count, for every 40 to 50 people, add a bartender.
One. Yeah.
That's good. That's probably a good rule of thumb for people, even if you're doing DIY.
Yep.
Where you're like, okay.
If you're outsourcing, like,
you
with
can, a caterer. You can find people. If you have to do it, you can figure out a way.
Yeah.
There are ways, like, we weren't invited to the wedding necessarily. Although, like, the photographer, he was invited to the wedding. I really wanted to tell him, like, you guys, he's not going to be paying attention to anything.
Oh, he was a guest as well? That's a big no-no.
They're
either working.
They got good photos, so it worked out. But I think they underrated how much you care about your photos.
Yes.
You know, unless I'm not a deeply sentimental person, but I think people do care about their photos. Mm-hmm. It's not for now. It's for later.
My whole wedding was like about the photos. And then also that I was marrying the love of my life. But photos.
Wearing? Wearing?
Marrying.
Oh, marrying. I thought it was like on your arm, like a prop.
My dress. Oh, like a prop.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. So Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any six styles. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. There are no parameters. You get access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees. There's no late fees, no damage fees, no fees to pause or cancel. So no big deal if you like lose a button. Uh-oh, I spilled something on it. Or you just need to take a break. They have inclusive sizing all the way up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code BRIDES20. Just go to Nuuly.com. That's Nuuly with two U's and enter the code BRIDES20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com. Nuuly with two U's with code BRIDES20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
Let's talk about giving a wedding toast for a minute. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. You have a lot of strong opinions on that. What is, in your ideal words,
among other things,
what is a good, we did an episode on this a while ago with an actual expert.
Yeah,
this was forever ago. And I think you'll have differing opinions with him.
Maybe. Well, refresh our memory for those who haven't listened. What are like the bullet points that he gave?
Like, I just remember the big no-nos was like, don't bring up exes. Like, even if they have a child with the other person, do not bring up the ex.
Right. I mean, that's smart.
Don't really roast. Like, you can a little bit, but like,
I agree.
Stay away from the roasting. Mm-hmm. Keep it short and sweet, but not too short.
Yeah.
I think I remember her. What else? Say something good about both people.
See,
acknowledge.
We're in lockstep. Then none of that is, I don't disagree with any of that.
Okay.
Light roasting I'm okay with. I'm not a roaster myself.
Do you?
But if you can tell a story that's just mildly embarrassing, I think that's okay.
Oh yeah. Light roasting is okay, but nothing that like really attacks the character or like the family. You know what I mean? Like don't call their family like something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if even that would count as roasting. That would just be rude, I think. But like roasting would be
true.
You know, joking about something that the groom did in his past. I mean, right. And bringing up exes as an example of that. where you feel like it's playful roasting and it's really and not it's going not. Over well.
We don't bring up the accent.
The best, though, the best wedding speech I ever heard. It was the funniest. I was dying of laughter. But the groom's family was from Florida. And then the other groom's family was not. And the other groom's sister, she is like an earth scientist. And like, was she like literally like is like doing studies about erosion. Mm-hmm. Like Florida's not in great long-term shape for those of you who don't know. So
like
she gets
physically
up
wise?
Physically. And the two guys are going to move down to Florida after the wedding. And she's like, I don't know what you're moving to Florida for. It won't be there in 50 years. And I die. Like that was, I thought that was playful roasting.
That's funny. Cause it's not going after them.
The entire Florida half of the room was murmuring, like talking out loud to each other for 10 minutes over the next speech.
Okay.
It was so funny. I couldn't believe it, how much she got under their skin. Probably shouldn't have roasted. Turns out that they didn't love that. It was worth it to me.
But that wasn't even a bad roast. I would think that's okay. I think the Florida people are being a little too oversensitive. She made a joke about the general state of Florida. And I'm sorry if any of you Florida people are listening. I grew up there, so I can say this. So I can laugh at it. That's appropriate to me.
If
she were like, you're moving to Florida because you guys are stupid hillbillies, that then would that be would be a different story.
Only hillbillies live there would be rude.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that would have been hilarious too with all those Floridians in the audience. So I'm okay with that, but I agree. So here's the thing. People who know how to give a speech, they don't need any advice. But there's probably someone that's in your wedding party who you've asked to give a speech to who is more nervous than you think.
Oh, yeah.
So my first bit of advice is if you ask somebody to give a speech, they're going to take it as though it's like a request rather than a would you like to. You know what I'm, you get where I'm going with this?
What if it's the best man and maid of honor that are typically like, yes, at most weddings, you are giving a speech. Like it just comes with the job.
Then you're asking it of them.
Okay.
But some people are more nervous than you think.
Oh yeah.
So I think it is worth checking in with someone on that front before.
Okay.
Cause like, if you don't really care how many speeches there are, but you, let's say you have like two best men's, sometimes that has bestest men. Mm-hmm. And it's, you got like your, you know, the brother who's there, but we don't really know him that good, but he has to be a best man. And then your real best friend. And then you ask the brother to if you'd like to give a speech, you know, Jeff's going to give one too.
Right.
He might have horrible stage fright. You don't need to make him do it. So I just want to make sure people are mindful of that. That being said, sometimes people actually need advice. So if you could direct them to this podcast or the previous mm-hmm. podcast that we talked about, and then they'll feel a lot better about it. Mm-hmm. I had a friend who gave a speech at this wedding last weekend.
Was it good?
It was amazing. But he was sick with nerves for two straight days.
Oh yeah.
And he's not even like a introverted person, you know, like, so
that was me before my sisters. I was,
you were
could
nervous?
Not eat my
and
dinner.
You usually won't shut up.
I normally do not shut up. And like when I get up there and get in the groove, I'm good. But I was so nervous before. Yeah. I don't know why. I was like, I rehearsed, I practiced thinking. It before with my dad. I practiced it with Mike in our apartment. I remember like a week prior and he was like, oh no, cut this and that, because I had like hardcore roasts. Cause I was like 24 and like roasting my sister.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Okay. I love that. So what you did was the first bit of advice that I would give. So I actually, the day of the wedding in the backyard, I was like, we're going to go over here behind the shed and you're just going to go through the
practice.
Whole speech. So you have to practice it. You can practice in front of the mirror. You'll tell yourself that you can just read it in your head and that you've practiced it, but you actually have to say it out loud.
Yep.
If you speak it out loud, you'll also learn what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
So rehearsal obviously is important. And even just like getting someone to like listen to you give it the day of, mm-hmm. I think is helpful. So rehearsal is my number one piece of advice. Second, I agree that short is so much better than long. It's ridiculous. Because
my brother-in-law
be so
did a long one recently, mm-hmm. and he was really good at it. He was a very dynamic speaker. He had everybody's attention. It was long.
Yeah.
But I think people still liked it.
Well, people might still like it, but there's not two speeches. There's like six speeches sometimes.
Yeah.
That's the other thing. You need to realize that you're not the only person speaking. And if you want to have high impact, you have to keep it short.
Mm-hmm.
The long ones usually don't work.
How much time length do you think?
I think 2 minutes is good.
I think two
minutes is kind of a long, feels long while you're up there.
Yeah.
I think, like you said, two short can be bad, but like 1 to 2 minutes is longer than you think.
I think 2 to 5.
Okay. I think a five minute wedding speech is ridiculous. I do. I think it's longer than you think.
I thought you were going to agree. Yeah. I no more
two
than
to
five.
Three.
Two to four.
No more than five. No, I agree with you that no more than five is not not actually.
Make it funny.
Too indulgent.
Also, not too many inside jokes.
Almost none. You have to tell the whole story. So here's, let's give you the formula. Let's make it even simpler. Okay. It is literally a formula.
Here we go.
There's no like magic to it. Okay. First thing you do is you get up and you say you say really nice things about all the family that you know.
Yeah.
Okay. So like, if it's the best man, okay, his main speech is about the groom because this is the time to acknowledge the groom. If it is the maid of honor, mostly her speech is going to be about the bride. But in either case, you have to start by going, Nicole, Mike, I've known you apart. I love you more even together. I'm here to talk about Mike because Mike is the best prop I've ever met. But before I get into that, I just want to say, Nicole, I'm so glad that my friend Mike is marrying such a wonderful person. You say that.
That's so sweet. But quick question before we move on from up front. You said acknowledge the families, right?
And then you go. And I didn't just grow up going to Mike's house. Okay. The Mike and the props. Okay. It was like a second home to me. And I just want to say to Mike's parents, I'm so happy for you today because you should be proud of Mike. And I'm proud of both of you for the person that you've raised. Okay. Done, right? Because you know Mike. But you're talking to Mike's parents.
I've heard a lot of like, thank you to the Joneses and the Smiths.
Thank
for
you to
tonight.
Both. Thank
yeah.
them.
Thank you.
Why
thank
not?
You to thank you to Nicole and Mike's families. Here's a question.
Yeah.
I've also seen some where it's clear, like everybody, all the guests, just because they know the family dynamics and stuff, know that like, let's say the groom's family paid for the whole wedding. And in that case, do you say, what is your thoughts on? Because I have a strong thought on this. Do you say like, thank you to the Smiths for throwing this beautiful or hosting this beautiful wedding. We're so excited to be there, and not say the Joneses as well. If the Smiths, you know, paid.
That is such a good question. I think in that case, I wouldn't say anything about it. What is your opinion?
I would say both or nothing.
Both or nothing at all.
Because then it causes a weird dynamic. I don't think the Smiths who paid are going to get so annoyed if you say the other couple's names. It's a joining of families, technically, no matter who's funding the wedding. Both are hosting it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I would just say, like, I've heard a lot of, like, thank you so much to the Smiths and the Joneses, or Mrs. whatever and Mr. whatever on both sides for planning such a beautiful evening and throwing this wedding.
I think that's great. I love that. But here's a better question. Let's say that it's the bride's father or the groom's father speaking. They should probably acknowledge each other, but especially if they get up and they're like, I just want to say, you know, we've spent a lot of time together this weekend. We're getting to know each other. I'm so happy that our families are coming together.
I love that.
You have to say something about the other parents.
Yes.
I think if you are or else people are going to kind of assume that it means something.
Yeah.
But it's so easy. So that's the first thing you do. Sentimentality up front. It's like a five-layer sentimentality sandwich. Okay. So sentimental. Mm-hmm. And then you got to tell a joke because otherwise it's going to get fucking awkward in here. So then you like get into that can be mildly inside, but something that's going to make everybody laugh about the groom.
What? From Wedding Crashers. She's like, what's her name? Jenny loves the color green, and green is like money. And it's like the worst speech ever.
You can do that if you want to. You can make a cultural reference. Whatever it is, you need to work in something funny there.
Yeah.
Then I think it's story time. So again, if you're the best man, you need to tell a story about Mike.
What are your thoughts on like childhood stories? Because I've heard some people dig deep into childhood and not reference any recent stories. And I'm like, okay, were you only friends in childhood?
But I don't care because this is actually, I'll talk about an unpopular opinion. Oh, here we go. Here's my first unpopular opinion of the show. But that it's funny that people will invite that couple that they just started going to like group dinners with because of a mutual friend that they've known for like 6 months because there's social pressure because you know you're going to see them again soon. When in fact, it's likely that 5 years from now, you're not going to know them anymore. You're almost going to forget they ever existed, but they got invited to your wedding because of recency bias.
Right.
But you have like my best friend when I was a little kid, his name was Jack, you know? I haven't seen Jack since, shout out to Jack Matranga, Sacramento, California. But like Jack Matranga, we were like best buds until the end of junior high. And then we went to different high schools. You never see each other again. I have run into him like twice since I was a kid.
Do you still talk?
No. No, I'm saying not at all. Oh, right. But I've run him like once or twice. And when you do, he's one of those people where it's like no time has passed, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so funny that person doesn't get invited to your wedding a lot of the time, even though they were so much more important than that loser that you just met the other day at a parking. But they're getting invited to the wedding. And my unpopular opinion is that your wedding is actually more of a collection of the people who matter to you from throughout your life and shouldn't just be who you're socially obligated to invite today.
I have an opinion on that.
Go ahead, Nicole.
It's who you think will be in your future.
I love that too. But you're naive
years
to think that a lot of these people are going to be in your future. That's not how the world works.
Yes, but then again, like if you are hanging out with and going to dinners with this other couple, you don't have to invite them. I don't feel obligated to, but if you want to, I think that's totally fine.
Oh, you can invite as many people as you want.
Yeah.
First of all, some people, if you don't invite them to your wedding, they're definitely not going to be in your future.
True.
Because they're going to take offense to it. But the kid that you grew up with isn't offended because he doesn't even know you're getting married, except his mom did tell him that she found that out.
Well, I have a whole list of criteria. I made a TikTok on it. Literally a whole list of criteria for if you should invite them into your wedding.
Great. The more the merrier to me. Mm-hmm. But I like the idea that you're inviting some of these people you have more ties to when you were kids or when you were in college or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell a story from childhood, tell a story from college, tell a story from the first time they met, tell a story from whatever. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be about both though. So it's nice if you can make it about the couple, but if you're the maid of honor, you could just make it about the bride because it's her moment while you're speaking. Mm-hmm. And then you got to make another joke. It has to end on laughs. You have to like punctuate it because if you get too sentimental, it's going to start to drag. So remember, it's sentimental laugh, and then we're done. We're almost out. One more sentimental thing.
What are your thoughts on tears during the sentimental parts?
Like if you cry?
Yeah.
What do you mean? The gift.
Do we like crying or no?
Oh, we love crying. Oh, if you're a speech giver and you can't even talk and you're caught up.
No.
Who cares?
I went to one. I don't even want to like say too much because I feel whatever. Yeah. The maid of honor could not even give the speech because she was bawling so hard.
I think that's sweet. I think that's fine. She probably didn't practice enough. Because you also, if you think that's going to be you, I do think that you need to like almost get into robot mode where you're not thinking the emotions anymore. You're just giving the speech. So that means muscle if you think memory. You're that person, you need it to be muscle memory.
Yeah.
So I agree. You've kind of fucked up if you did that.
Everybody was just silently like, come on, you got this, Sarah, or whatever her name was. We were all just like, oh my God, it was so awkward. Like literally there was silence in the big reception room because she could not get it out.
Okay, then I'm anti that, but I'm pro a little bit of tears.
Yeah.
So at this wedding, I gotta tell you, the Australians, man, they can give a fucking speech.
I love Australians.
But the dad got it. He literally made me cry. There were tears in my eyes. Okay.
I love a dad's speech.
And he did exactly what I talked about. He acknowledged every parent. He acknowledged like the bride's parents and partners and whatever and how lovely the setting it is. And thank you so much for hosting us and whatever. And then he tells a story about his kid from when he was 3 years old and it was sweet. And he said something nice about the bride and how wonderful she looked and everything. And then he just got into, again, how proud he was of his son and then did one of those like prepared toasts. Remember, it's a toast.
Yes.
Have a plan for what this, so again, we're in the fifth part of the sentimentality sandwich.
I love a quote.
It's a quote. It's a with the wind at your back and the blah, blah, blah. Don't spit in the wind. I don't even know what he said. But he got to that part and I'm telling you, he got me. He got me on the
with
toast.
That? What was it?
I don't know, but it was the fact that he had.
Can you find out?
It was all the things he had said about his son
wrapped
leading
into
up
one.
To, and now here's the toast part. And it was 2.5 minutes if it was.
Sometimes the quote gets me. Like if it's a really pretty, beautiful quote about love, that part gets me.
Me
in the
too,
end.
Apparently. So that was great. And then the other dad got up.
Uh-oh.
And he had a list. He didn't have a speech written down. This is now we're going to get into like the debate part, but he had a bullet point list. And I actually like the idea of a bullet point list. The only problem is it did have 20 items on it. And I think he talked for about a half an hour. So
no,
that was too long. So that was too long.
What was on the bullet point? What was the list part about?
It was a list of stories. And he told them all. In chronological
order. So my dad's
don't do that.
Speech was really, really good. The only thing Sorry, Dad, if you're listening. So no, his speech was amazing. He's not listening. He's too busy. I can just talk. He did this thing where I swear, this is might just be the middle child syndrome in me coming out, but he talked about my sister and brother in the beginning and what he was proud of them.
I don't know why dads do this. They'll be like, I love all my children. No, no, not today.
I was like, it's my day, Dad. Your daughter.
No, I think people do that. They really do because they have this thing built into them that you're not supposed to favor any of your children. There's one day you're allowed to do it.
Yeah.
It's actually the whole week.
And I'm the middle child and I always get shafted. And here's the thing. Yeah. I love my dad to death. He's perfect in every which way. He did an amazing job. People were actually complimenting him on the speech because he did the formula. He did the laughs, the jokes, the sentimental. He got really sentimental, which I'm not used to. And spoke very highly of Mike and his family, all this stuff. But in the beginning, he was like congratulating my sister for being a maid of honor postpartum because she had a baby a month ago.
Okay.
And then my brother for like being in med school. Right. And I was like, and then he goes, and we've got the Betches crowd here. And he goes, so yeah, Nikki's doing social media. And I was like, what?
That's a pretty good dig.
Oh, you went that's after
a good
my
roast.
Job.
That's
you
a good level of roast. I can live with that. I think you're right, though. That's actually a good point that you really shouldn't be acknowledging people that shouldn't be acknowledged.
Yes.
So making it about, oh, I love all my children.
We get it.
It really is her moment right now. Mm-hmm. So make it about her. Now, here's the question. Where do you stand on written down or not written or off the cuff?
Write it down.
Okay.
You don't have to use it, the whole thing, but write it down. I've seen some people try to wing and it's so awkward because they forget it.
So I think I agree with that because most people overestimate their ability, the ones who don't write it down, mm-hmm. and then they're going to ramble for too yep. long. However,
don't sit there and read as if it's an essay in a class.
That's true. You don't really want, you got to practice enough that you can kind of get off book mm-hmm. mostly. The best wedding speeches, they do have it written down. And they don't need it.
Yeah.
So if you're going for the greatest level of impact, it honestly is just making it feel spontaneous and real and non-scripted. Mm-hmm. And you can do that by practicing.
Right. I've seen the best ones where they're holding the paper. They have it. They keep looking for their next part. But right when they see their next part, they put the paper down and they're like, yeah, let me tell you about this one story. Blah, blah, blah.
That's great. That's great. Actually, my favorite move, I'm planning to do this one this weekend.
You're giving a speech?
Yeah, I'm giving a speech this weekend. And our producer, Jorge, is getting married.
What? And that's this weekend?
Yeah, that's this weekend. And
guys, you love Jorge.
He can't hear this. I'm just kidding, but I have a speech prepared.
So. Wait a second. Jorge, guys, just so you know, Jorge is no longer the Betches Brides producer. He's moved on to other podcasts. Mm-hmm. But we have a new one, Rebecca, now, who we'll get you to know later. But they love Jorge. We need to congratulate him. Of course they love Jorge.
Well, he's going
to
be back afterwards to debrief on all the mistakes that he made.
We need that.
Yeah, exactly.
They all say Jorge Morales Pico.
Right. That's
his last name.
Pico.
Pico. Oh, yeah. I always say
it. It's at the end of the episodes. So those are the basic tips for the speech. But mm-hmm. To me, the best advice that you could give somebody, and also, okay, the bride and groom, how do they give their toast at the end of it?
That's one of my biggest regrets from the wedding. We didn't do a speech.
I know. I think the thing is you don't really have to have a lot prepared. I really think it's when it's like 30 seconds.
Oh, the bride.
You take turns.
The couple one can be literally, yeah, a quick just thank you for coming.
Mm-hmm. But in that case, the thank you for coming, whatever, it should end on a toast. And again, I like the idea of having a prepared, like, you know, the two-line poem thing.
Right.
That's inspiring, whatever, and then you're done.
I like that. Find a quote or a poem from somebody who's just like, it's about loving friends and family and use that.
Yeah, or use some... Use like lyrics from your favorite sitcom theme song, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But you could do literally anything. It could literally be lines from the Friends theme song and people will be
yes.
into it. So anything like that works and makes it also easier for you to be like, and this is done. I don't think obviously there's no secret sauce, but it really is sentimental, funny, end on a nice toast.
Love that. And I like when the couples one, it ends on being like, we want you guys to have fun. So let's party. Like make that part right before mm-hmm. like a party part moment.
What if instead of the last, like, cause you know, you have the glass of champagne, but if there's like six toasts by the end of it, there's no champagne left.
No.
So while everyone's doing all the toasts,
shots, passed
shots around for the last
shots!
One.
Shots. Okay, Sean, this was so helpful. Let's do our voicemail.
Hi, I'm driving. Probably shouldn't be driving and leaving this voicemail, but here we are. I just want to say that I just discovered this podcast like a couple weeks ago, and I'm literally binging every single episode. It has like helped me so much. I was losing sleep. I wasn't focusing on anything else except for wedding stuff, which is totally normal, so I'm hearing. But I got engaged in April of 22, and my wedding is November 4th. So essentially, I'm just a nutcase for doing this. But I didn't want to wait and have like a long engagement because I'm 41. My fiance is 43. We've both never been married. I have two kids already. So I was just like, I wanted to get this going. But that being said, we are planning this wedding within 6 months. It's actually less than 5 months now. And we're paying for everything by ourselves pretty much. And we're on a very limited budget. And we did everything wrong. I got the reception first, which is like so much of our budget, but I fell in love with it. I was like, I have to make this work. So I got this dream reception. I got the church. Everything is booked. The question that I have, actually, it's a twofold question. The question that I have is number one. So our whole theme is like this fairy tale thing because, yes, I am. My name is Sarah, by the way. I don't know if I said that. I'm like a total princess inside. Always dreamt of my wedding. Always had the little girl fancies of the wedding, so we're doing everything pretty traditional, and I want this, like, fairy tale theme thing. But I have this idea for table numbers, like, being related to sitcoms. Like, I want to have, like, the office table and, like, Seinfeld table and et cetera. Has literally nothing to do with the theme, but is it acceptable to have, like, something totally off-brand and random in your wedding? I don't know. Is that a thing? Is that acceptable? And my other question is, is it okay for the groom to have a different suit than the groomsmen? I have so many more questions, but that's all I can think of for now. I love your show so much. I'm actually now delving into the other podcasts of all the things. So that's all. I'm going to stop talking now. Thank you so much for your input. Love your content.
Sarah, drive safe, okay? A lot of people call while they're driving.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's easy,
too.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Okay. Good questions. Good questions. Let's do the last one first.
The suit.
The suit.
I think, yes, that's totally okay.
It's totally normal. I mean, I'm fine. And things don't match.
Have it still coordinate somehow. We talked about this in a recent Caroline Crawford Patterson episode all about the suits. Like, have the blue, if you're going to have a navy blue with black accents on the groom, then put the groomsmen in black. Like, don't have it clash. Don't do like neon yellow and neon pink unless your theme is neon carnival. But, you know, just have it coordinate. But I think it's totally fine.
Well, if everyone's renting suits, if they're actually trying to coordinate, it seems a little weird not to just have them look like they at least go together.
Right.
Obviously, if you're just letting people bring their random suits, then it's going to be what it's going to be. I do think one way to differentiate that's kind of nice is like the groomsmen, they just wear the regular coat and slacks and whatever. And then the groom has a vest underneath or something to make him look a little bit more buttoned up, a little more elevated.
Yeah.
But like a completely different suit. I don't really get it.
Right.
But it could work. I don't think that's crazy. As long as it feels like they fit the same general look.
The best I've seen is when the groom, like the wedding I went to recently, the groom got a nice Hugo Boss suit or tux. It looked so nice. He'll have it forever. I'm sure it cost thousands, but it looked so sharp. And then the groomsmen, I think, did Generation Tux, which is a sponsor of ours, but they all rented and they looked amazing as well.
But did they try and coordinate the fabrics so that they looked similar enough?
Not with the groom, I don't think.
No?
It was just black tuxes.
So it worked.
And his, yeah.
Oh, they were all just black tuxes.
They all matched. I think it's important to have your groomsmen all matching.
He bought a tux?
Yeah.
For a wedding?
For his own wedding.
When are you going to use that?
For black tie events. Okay. If you go to other black tie events, if you live out in the middle of the country and you're never going.
Do you want a lot of black tie events? I don't. So.
Also, true. I actually legit don't.
I'm telling you, like guys, they.
True.
Put on some of that dad
weight. See, that's why we did Generation
Boss. Fucking got you for a one-time wear.
We did Suits and Generation Tux, and they let us keep Mike's. Yeah, and Mike got to keep his, so we tailored it like glove to his body, and now he wears it all the time to weddings.
I mean, great. That's wonderful. And if you can reuse it, that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
I actually went to a wedding where all the groomsmen, they just wore like regular, not like tan suits, but they look pretty good.
Okay.
And then the groom was wearing a straight up tuxedo. So like they weren't wearing the same things, and here's the thing, nobody noticed.
Yeah.
You don't notice.
It's one of those things you think about more.
I agree. It just, as long as they don't clash, like Nicole said. Mm-hmm. I think that's the right answer. That's not a real question. Can you have two conflicting themes, really? Because sitcoms and fairy tale are not the same thing. How do you feel about this? Be honest.
Listen, can she?
Strong opinions,
she can do
Nicole.
Whatever she wants.
She can do whatever she wants. Should she? We asked if we could, but we never asked stop if we should.
Exactly.
Okay.
Let's say should. Listen, I think if you're leaning into the princess vibes, I personally love a theme for events. Sometimes not for a wedding, though.
I love
it depends.
Them for a wedding.
I love soft themes. Like, I love little touches here and there. Don't make the whole thing princess everywhere you turn. But I think I'm such a visual person. So I have to see what the sitcom things would look like.
Yeah.
If it would look tacky and cheesy then with them, then no. But if it's like done in the same like watercolor that you're doing the signage and invitations and you want to throw some sitcoms on, sure. But other than that, if not, no, I think it's a little too much going on.
I love the idea of a themed wedding. In fact, I think all weddings should be themed.
Like,
I think
what
you should
do you mean?
I think that most weddings kind of blend together and that you want to throw a nice party, but you end up sometimes throwing a forgettable party. But the person who has a sitcom theme party has people. Now, you want people to think you're tacky. If you're worried about that, then maybe don't have a theme. I personally don't care. As a patron, I just want to have a good time.
I disagree, though. I think if the couple's personality lends to a theme, do it, but don't force a theme.
Oh, okay. Don't force a theme. If you love fairy tales, mm-hmm. I say lean into that like hard.
I love it.
Make it ridiculous. Ride up to the venue in a pumpkin-shaped carriage. Do the whole thing. I mean, honestly.
A like, pumpkin carriage.
Make your officiant dress up like a fairy godmother.
Cinderella.
Like literally, you can dress up like Cinderella. I'm all about non-traditional colors for wedding gowns. That's mm-hmm. another one. Like wear the blue gown like you're Cinderella. Have a glass slipper. I don't care. In fact, you know, it would be really fun instead of doing the wash the dishes Cinderella, playing the wedding Cinderella. So man, when they like throw the bouquet,
yes.
At the end of the thing.
A lot of people don't do this anymore.
No, I know. That one's kind of played. But what if you had a thing where like there's like a hot guy, like one of the groomsmen who's fucking hot, and he has your glass slipper. And at the end of the night, you take turns sitting down in the chair and he tries to put the glass slipper on you.
That'd be a fun activity.
To go home and like bone him at the end of the night. So that would be, or dance with him. You know what I mean?
Gets to go home and fuck.
Well, but it's like that. Why don't we do that? My point being, if you're going to do a theme.
This wedding took a turn.
Do it.
Okay.
Do the theme.
Yes.
Do a Cinderella theme so that when people go home,
it's
like, how was the wedding this weekend? First of all, we did shots, so there was good dancing.
Yep.
It was great.
They had this whole Cinderella.
This whole Cinderella theme. The photo booth looked like Cinderella.
Very Instagrammable.
Everything. Like, make it feel like it was all one theme. And that is a long way of saying, if you're going to do a Cinderella themed wedding,
only do the Cinderella.
Only do that. And I'm a themed guy. You know what my favorite idea for a wedding is, you guys? Okay, here it is. You can use this if you want. I'm talking to you right now. If you haven't actually started planning your wedding yet, this is a theme you can borrow, okay? What's the wedding date that nobody really wants?
September 11th.
What's the second wedding date that
Christmas.
Nobody really... What's the third wedding date that nobody really wants? Halloween.
Oh, I wanted Halloween.
Busy. Go with me on this. Everybody's busy on Halloween. Right? With trick-or-treating and they have parties. So nobody wants to, first thing you should do is check the availabilities at your preferred venue. See if they have October 31st for next year. Great. We're ready. What's the next step to this wedding? This is my
costumes.
Costumes, baby. Just fucking go for it.
No, I think after you do costumes for the after party.
What do you mean? Why the after party? Why not the reception?
Because it's a wedding. You only get married once. You don't want to be dressed like a werewolf.
Well, here's what you got to do, though. Okay, you tell everyone who's coming is they get to wear any costume they want. It just has to be the wedding version of that thing. This is my idea, okay? Oh. So wedding werewolf. It's like he is still wearing like a tuxedo top, but he has like, you know, fur.
Yeah.
Or if you're going as, well, some of these won't work. But for example, if you're going as like
a minion.
A minion, exactly. The minion has a bow tie on. Like, just make it all just the fancy version of whatever your thing is. You could be a zombie, a zombie version of a guest, right? Yeah. Any of these things will do. You can go with just a regular old magician. He's wearing a suit already. That's perfect with the top hat.
True.
Oh my God, it would be so great. And then couples are coming in their own little themed costumes.
This does sound so fun.
Of course it's so fun. And then as the bride and groom, and this is the best part, okay? You go, you do all your photos in your regular clothes, okay? Like your regular, regular clothes meaning like, you know, an actual
wedding
gown.
Dress.
You wear
an
actual wedding dress. You wear an actual tuxedo. Mm-hmm. You take all the photos so that you have those forever. And then, you know, when you like during cocktail hour, the wedding party goes away, we redo our makeup so that we're all like, you know, Dia de los Muertos or whatever the thing is.
Oh,
that I think would be great. Right?
I need to resurface this thing I posted in 2019 on the Bachelor's Bride's Instagram. So scroll back. The couple did that for the reception. They entered.
What I just said?
Yeah. They had a normal ceremony. They all wore normal outfits. I don't know what the guests wore, but the couple wore normal suit and beautiful dress for ceremony. Then for the reception, they had professional, like Michael Jackson Thriller makeup artists come in and dress them up as a bride and groom werewolf. And they had this epic entrance. It was so cool. I need to resurface that video. They did like the Thriller dance.
You could do it. I mean, you got to do the Thriller dance at this wedding
too. I could teach
too.
You. I know it.
Well, I know you know it because you know all the dances, but yeah, that would be great, right? And people are going to go home from this wedding and be like, what'd you do for Halloween? That'd went to the sick. Best wedding I've ever been to.
Yeah, honestly, don't rub it in. Believe. I tried to have a Halloween wedding.
Okay, because you're smart. I mean, that's great. But that's just another example. Now, if you wanted to do a TV, like sitcom themed wedding, mm-hmm. I mean, I think that might be the best idea I've ever heard of. I like would love that. Theme. If every single table looked more, like looked like whatever that sitcom is, if you're your
photo booth was the friends background.
The friends background and the little frame, the gold frame they hold up and whatever. Like if the dance floor looks like it had whatever, and if during the reception you actually played theme songs from sitcoms back to that idea that I had earlier, that stuff would probably land really well and people would enjoy it. But even that one could
sitcom
be subtle.
Theme, I don't know.
I know you don't know because a lot of these sound tacky to the outside observer, but when you're there, you're having fun.
Here's the thing, though. I'm contradicting myself because I do like the weddings where there are very personal touches around. If you're a big Friends fan, maybe each table number is the different sitcoms that you love, but maybe that's the only like personal touches. And I like some subtle personal touches. I like when the cats and dogs are watercolor painted on the signature drink cocktail signs. I like the
dog themed weddings. Bring your dog to the wedding.
Oh, I'd attend.
That would be, no, but then they're like over there in doggy daycare. That would be so fun.
That would be sick. I agree with you. All of this stuff is very memorable. It is.
It is. And you try to throw a memorable party at the end of the day. So I like your idea. I do think, back to this voicemail, you probably want to pick one or the other.
Yes.
I think come up with something else. What if instead? I know
names of the seven dwarves as
there you
the
go.
Table numbers.
Or I was actually going to say it could just literally be whatever. If yours is Disney, that's great. If it's other kinds of fairy tales, that's great too. But you could have, let's say you have the Hansel and Gretel table. You have the Snow White table. You have the Cinderella table. You have whatever it is.
That's so fun.
I think that would work well. Okay. And each of the like the name placard things mm-hmm. should just be in whatever the like typical font is for that or whatever. Maybe the centerpiece, actually the centerpiece for Hansel and Gretel though could be like a little gingerbread house.
Alice in Wonderland would be like a
Wonderland
mushroom.
Alice in Wonderland could be mushrooms. You do mushrooms at that table.
And you match each table to each person's each group's personality and you write them.
The kids are over at the mushroom table.
Yes.
Right.
write a cute little letter to each table. That's actually a tip I've heard.
A letter to the table. They have to read it when they sit down. I love that too.
That's something I've heard
recently. Murder mystery party. That's a good wedding thing. What if like the whole wedding was also a murder mystery?
Oh, see, that's my jam.
I know. I would love that.
Well,
who done it? And you hire a guy who comes in, he looks like fucking Sherlock Holmes and shit halfway through your wedding. And there's
somebody
like
needs
a drama and they act it out.
Somebody needs to do that.
Yeah,
and I think
that would be really fun.
Yep.
So I love a theme. Don't be uptight about themes, but don't do two themes.
Don't do two, unless it's like subtly somehow works, but it probably doesn't.
Love
you, Sarah. Thanks for calling in. We'll put the hotline number in the show notes. We do more of those than your emails these days, you guys. So definitely call the hotline because they're like more fun. And now let's begin our unpopular opinion segment brought to you by High Noon. As you know, in this segment, we share your unpopular wedding opinions, but I've got a popular opinion that not one of you can disagree with, honestly. High Noon is the premium hard seltzer to make any unpopular scenario, like, I don't know, an awkward wedding where people aren't dancing and having fun yet. Well, guess what? High Noon's going to make that a popular one again. So pop open a High Noon and let's get into our first unpopular opinion. Okay, the first one is, if you have an after party, the couple doesn't need to pay for an open bar for the event.
If you have an after
party. For the after party.
I like this one. So last time I was on, I did say that if you're going to have an open bar, a cash bar at your wedding, just don't have a wedding.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. The after party, why? You should pay for your own drinks at the after party. As a patron, I think that is totally reasonable.
I
think the wedding ends when you leave the reception.
Okay, yes. And you guys aren't going to like this answer because whatever, it's more money for you. But I think there's two different types of after parties. I think some people think an after party, I'm putting that in air quotes, is where you all just go to a bar nearby. That was my plan. We did not have more budget to host our own big after party. So I was like, let's go to a bar. We did. Everybody brought their own drinks at this point. Everybody's happy doing it. Looking back, I do wish I hosted one, but go back.
Where would you have done that though?
In like near our venue, in the same venue. I would have paid extra to keep us there, whatever. But I think if you're going to actually host like a legit, like we are hosting this after party at this venue, come here. I think you should pay because it's an extension of the wedding.
Well, it is an unpopular opinion.
Yeah.
I think I agree with the submission though, because I think once the wedding is over, it's at least not tacky to expect people to pay for it.
If I were a guest at a wedding where I'm paying at an after party, I wouldn't think anything.
Here comes
tacky
an unpopular opinion for you. Okay. I'm a big happy hour guy. You know, I'm always down to go out for a drink.
After. Love it.
You know me, Nicole. I don't really like the after party after a wedding. I'm like, I usually...
Are you tired?
I think you're usually... If you did a good job at the wedding, I want it to be chill afterwards. I don't really want to keep raging. That's me personally. It feels forced a lot of the time. My unpopular opinion is the wedding after party is not fun to me.
I don't like having to shuffle to a whole new location.
You gotta go to a new location.
I don't like that. I like when you can stay longer at the venue. Like when the couple pays venue to let us stay these extra 2 to 3 hours. And then so you're not shuffling drunk people around, thus like buzz killing and sobering them up. Everybody's there. You keep on partying. I like that. You bring out a late night food. Because that's crucial.
I would love what you just described. I think part of the reason why I think that I don't like the after party
it's
is because the shuffle.
I don't like a shuffle.
It loses steam. Maybe that's why.
Yeah.
It's like you get on whatever, you get in whatever shuttle that you're taking to the thing, you get around all these
Everybody sobers up.
And then you're dying.
You're like, okay, now back into rage mode. It's hard.
It's hard to do.
Switch.
And it's always like a lower vibe.
Especially if you're paying for your own drinks.
That's true. All right. Do we have another one?
We do. Okay. Oh, and 71% of our audience agreed with that you don't have to pay for them for the after.
Oh, good. So. Okay. So they agree with me. So
save
I won.
Some money. Okay. Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm. Wow. If the venue's last call is before 1:30 a.m., don't book it.
If the venue's last call is 1:30 a.m.?
That's very late.
1:30 at the reception venue?
Yeah.
That's unpopular. Some of these places don't let you be there till past 11.
No. Ours was you're done at 11.
Yeah.
It was a 4-hour reception.
1:30. So this is back to our thing. Maybe I agree with this because the after party is on site. I don't think you can be that selective. I think this is an unpopular opinion because they haven't been searching for venues.
Right. You can't be that selective. No venue is going to say, yep, we'll let you go till 1:30 for the reception. No venue is going to say.
Some places obviously can, but they're in the wilderness.
You're going to pay.
Yeah. You're in the middle of a forest. You're throwing it in the middle of a forest. Because the reason they have these is because they don't want to deal with neighbors.
Yeah.
That's the reason why. Most times when they have that. And they also don't want to staff it till 1:30 either. Those people want to go.
The staff, I was going to say.
Home.
Those people are trying.
So I don't love this one. Because if I was making a list for a venue and you're saying, what are your deal breakers? What are your must haves?
Good flow.
That can't be one of your must haves.
Good
1:30 a.m. No, good flow is totally yellable.
I was like, yes, it is.
No, it's like a 1:30 certain size. Is not it has a must to have an outdoor space. Right, it has to have a certain lighting. It has to have whatever. It has to be up until 1:30 a.m. No. You're just going to be waiting.
My ideal situation is reception ends at whatever normal time receptions end. So 10:30, 11-ish. You actually not in the same exact venue.
Oh, sorry.
The pumpkin. Yeah. Not in the same exact venue. I take back what I said earlier. My ideal situation is you're walking distance, walkable. Very nearby, a different walkable. Room so that you're getting a change of scenery, but it's an after party. Everybody's able to get in, which was the problem with mine. The bar was too crowded. It's the whole thing.
Happens Everybody a lot, gets I think, in. Nicole. People don't really plan that part.
Oh, you need to. Everybody gets in. It's a great, you can reserve a special room in a bar, whatever. Just pre-plan it. And it's walkable. It feels like the same venue, but not really. It's a different change of scenery. And that can go till 1:30.
So when I was day of coordinator recently, they had it on site and it was a bonfire. And that was nice. That
I love
was
that.
Good.
I love
That's
that.
That's my kind of after party. Even then, I was a little bit like, okay, I'm done. But fine. That was great. And then we had another one. It was in a small town. They planned it at this bar. The bar was not open that day. So there was no after party there. So we took it back to the hotel that had this whole setting.
Hotel
and
bar.
We brought all the booze from the wedding back there.
Yep.
And that was great. And so it worked at the hotel. And then
sometimes 2 a.m., I like that.
Jump the fence into the pool. Yep. Everybody's having a great time.
Yeah.
So the after party can work. But I agree with you. If it's walkable, ideal.
Yeah. I've been to so many lately that just go to the hotel bar and it's
why not?
But it's not the whole wedding. It's always just the young people. The old people are going to bed.
Of course they're going to bed. Anyway.
They don't want to after party with you.
That's why I don't the after party. I'm just aged out of it or something. I don't know.
I'm getting tired.
I think I never loved the after party.
Right.
I don't want it to feel forced because the point is the reception should do the job.
Right.
People, you already got the glass slipper on her foot,
Brother's reception went, my brother's reception, they extended it and they went till midnight or one in the reception space. Uh-huh. And I will say it was so much fun. We just kept on partying. They had to send out more food, a late night snack, more desserts, kept the open bar open. But by the end, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
You're tired.
Yeah.
You're fucking exhausted.
What was the vote on this one?
This one, people said, 85% disagree.
Okay, so that we're both on the winning side.
1:30 is way too late.
That was an unpopular.
That was a college kid ready to rage. Okay, last one. Welcome/ after brunch parties are overkill. So a next day brunch.
Okay. I don't think they should be obligatory, but they're overkill in the sense that they're optional and available is very tasteful. I think they don't have to be a lot of food. Mm-hmm. But I like the next day brunch, even if it, because you know what? Again, a lot of times I'll just stop by for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
This is funny. My friend said he loves those because you solidify
the relationships,
that you made at the wedding.
And you reminisce on the funny drunk things.
Yeah. And my response to that is I don't really want to make a lot of new connections at a wedding. So that's just me. And I'm a friendly guy.
Yeah.
But I just want to hang out with the people I already know. Mm-hmm. But yes, of course. But I also don't want to have conversations with strangers that day either. So oftentimes I'll just dip in, I'll get the food that I want. I'm there for 20 minutes and I'm out.
Right.
To me, it's overkill if it's
a mandatory
more speeches
must RSVP and sit. Oh yeah, no, God.
You shouldn't have to RSVP. Treat it like a continental breakfast at a Best Western.
There's food out. They come, they grab a coffee. Yep. I love that.
Okay.
I do like it. I think it's nice. And I think it's nice when like the parents of the one of the couples or one of the people in the couple have like a nice house to do it at, because then you get a personal touch. Oh,
I love that. How do you feel at a similarly at a destination wedding? Does every person who travels to the destination wedding get to go to the rehearsal dinner?
The welcome party.
Yeah, what I call it. It's the rehearsal. It's the welcome party.
Not the rehearsal dinner.
What's the difference between a welcome party and a rehearsal dinner? Am I confused? Isn't that the same thing?
Honestly, the one destination wedding I did was Brooks. And in this past February, she came on the pod after. It was great. We did rehearsal dinner and everything the Thursday night before everyone was in town, just wedding party.
Okay, but that's some bougie shit. I'm assuming most welcome parties are after
the night, whatever the night before the wedding is, yeah, that people go to. I think, yes, destination wedding, everyone.
Everyone's invited.
And when I say destination, I mean international, not like Maryland.
Well, if over 80% of the people are traveling to this place rather than coming from in town, then I would say they get invited.
We didn't invite everybody to, the welcome. To our dinner.
No, but where was yours at?
We did a rehearsal dinner.
But it was
in Annapolis.
So a lot of the people who were invited were local. So not everybody's going to get invited.
Sort of. But then we opened it up to a welcome party for all guests to join. Not mandatory. And worked out food? Great. There were passed around hors d'oeuvres
okay.
at that.
Okay. Then we agree.
Yeah. And drinks, obviously.
Today I learned that the welcome party and the rehearsal dinner are different.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times they're like an overlap for people.
Yeah. Yeah. People think they're the same.
Okay. I have another. What was the vote on that one?
This one was 59% of people agree.
They agree that it's overkill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's true. It's not a wildly unpopular opinion. All right, I have an unpopular opinion for you.
What
Here's
is
a
it?
Crazy idea. Okay, DIY, last one. And I'm not kidding about this. We talked about this last time, but this is a real idea. If you are doing your DIY wedding, mm-hmm. here is my unpopular opinion. People want canned cocktails at a wedding. Like, they will drink them if they're available. Get High Noons. Get High Noons mm-hmm. for your DIY wedding, okay? Get a bunch of buckets and tons of ice and actually set up like a tropical theme, like you're doing, you know.
It's a little tiki bar.
Yeah, it's noon o'clock somewhere. You might as well do like a little tiki bar, self-service. Obviously, you have to be like replenishing it. Mm-hmm. But if you don't have the budget for a bartender, and obviously you still need beer and wine because this is a normal wedding. And like I said, shots are imperative. But do like there's nothing wrong with like a canned cocktail canned. Corner.
I love that.
And just
that.
make
They're
it.
So
it's
easy. Not.
It's so easy.
They're
it's so
good.
Affordable.
People chug those.
It's
things.
DIYable. Mm-hmm. You can like make it feel kitschy and cool and fun. But I'm telling you, get some nooners in there, and people are going to be happy. You know, people are going to be telling stories about one. All right, that's it for our unpopular opinions, brought to you by High Noon. If you don't know, High Noon is premium hard seltzer made with real vodka and real juice. And it is the preferred beverage this season. Perfect for every event, including all your wedding events. You know, we drink actually High Noon a lot in the office here, Nicole, as everybody knows. But it's also perfect for your summer activities, hanging out with friends, going to the beach. It's perfect. Bring yourself a nooner. I mean, High Noon, this wedding season, like I said, not only can you have it in your wedding, but bring it to the bachelorette party. Bring it to the welcome party. That's perfect for a High Noon. If the sun is out, it's time for a High Noon. Head to your local liquor store to pick up some High Noon for the weekend, or you can find where to purchase High Noon near you by visiting highnoonspirits.com. Sun's up.
Anyways, if I didn't have another meeting after this, I would stay all day and talk about weddings. I really would.
We left a lot of meat on the bone.
No, we left so much meat on the bone. And you know, when I eat a good chicken wing, I never do that. So this is really discouraging me. We're going to have you on very soon again. We're going to talk about more DIY hacks that you've seen as a guest and as a wedding opinionated man that you love. We're going to talk about how to find a good officiant.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of opinions on that.
You know, I'm an ordained minister. I've told you that.
Yeah, I need to know all about that. Mm-hmm. But until then, I'm depressed. I have to go. But Sean, everybody can find you at Radio Sean Ryan, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Listen to our podcast. Anything you want to plug?
No, not a thing. Just listen to the Betches Brides podcast.
Oh,
that's
great.
A good one. Follow Betches on TikTok. That helps Nicole. That's mm-hmm. important. That's
need,
about
need
it.
Need all the help. Till then, till death do us part.
The Betches Brides podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow us at Betches Brides and send us your emails to brides@betches.com. Betches.